It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Farad.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Trump signed an executive order this week that aims to overhaul federal childhood vaccine guidelines, directing medical professionals to pare down the recommended vaccines for kids and to split up combined shots.
The order supports spacing out vaccinations between separate doctor's visits, including those that are normally lumped into single combined vaccines, like the measles, mumps, and rubella, or MMR, vaccine.
It also orders further vaccine safety monitoring and research and encourages states to review their own vaccination policies to better align with the new federal recommendations.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services responded in a statement yesterday saying, quote, "The executive order issued August 10th by the current administration does not change our approach or our previous statements." And, quote, "There's no new scientific evidence that justifies changing recommendations," end quote.
For a look at the evidence and the implications for Wisconsin children, we're joined by Dr. James Conway, professor in the Department of Pediatrics in the Division of Pediatric Infectious Disease at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He's also the Associate Director for Health Sciences and the Global Health Institute. Dr. Conway, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back with you.
We've seen previous actions from the federal government to change the childhood vaccine schedule. What is new about this executive order?
Well, they're trying again to diminish the number of vaccines that kids routinely get, mimicking some of the countries in Europe that have been slow to adopt new vaccines. You know, I think many of these countries have really focused on vaccines that prevent mortality, kids from dying. And we've really had the luxury of developing vaccines over these last decades that actually prevent morbidity as well, kids suffering from unnecessary illnesses that may not kill them but may permanently disable them. So it's really this sort of rolling back of what has been really great progress over these last couple decades.
How do these recommendations in this order differ from what the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends? What stands out there?
Yeah, I think the big things really are that we've routinely recommended now for many, many years vaccines against 18, 19 different diseases that we really think every kid deserves an equal opportunity to be protected against. And this really sort of puts a large group of those into this sort of optional area where people are being encouraged to have a discussion and make a decision individually. You know, and I think we all have to recognize that that's always been part of this process, but it does sort of devalue some of these vaccines. I think the other big part of this is this call for people getting one vaccine at a time. And the burden that that'll put on families, both from a time management, but also from a cost standpoint, if you think about the fact that you pay a copay every time you go to the doctor, instead of being able to bundle these things together, you're going to be asked to do them separately, just makes no intuitive sense. And then really the final part of it is, again, reversing decades of progress where if you're a kid, you don't want more needles than you need to have. And so working to try to combine vaccines into single vaccine shots that actually cover multiple diseases has really been a major push into why we've been able to add more vaccines into the schedule and protect against more diseases. So the idea that we're sort of rolling back 20 or 30 years of progress just doesn't make any sense.
There was misinformation at the signing ceremony, and when talking about measles, mumps, and rubella, the MMR shots, President Trump claimed a vaccination looks like the size of a bottle of soda poured into a little child's body, which is false. Can you explain the actual size of vaccine doses and what's going on with a combined vaccination?
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of ludicrous to think about things. Either he's drinking extraordinarily small sodas or just doesn't understand how this works. I mean, most vaccines are, five milliliters at most. You know, so we're talking about way less than one teaspoon of volume. Most of them are a half a milliliter or a milliliter of actual volume. And really what the science has done has been able to both simplify the amount of the pieces of organisms or the antigens in there, but also to concentrate these things in a way that actually is much less painful than they used to be. You know, many years ago, I mean, we're talking back in the 1930s, 1940s, there certainly was large volume, what was called the horse serum, as being used as a vaccine, but that's been an obsolete idea for 70 or 80 years.
Are there reasons to consider to breaking up the MMR into individual vaccinations?
I mean, it really doesn't make any sense. And in fact, the rest of the world has been moving exactly in this direction of combining these vaccines. You know, it does make it more simple for the patient and the family to get more protection with a single injection. It runs the risk of potentially starting to have people pick and choose for really spurious reasons why they would pick one or the other. And so it really doesn't make any sense to go backwards to what people were asking for. You know, both providers and families were asking, can't you put all these things together? Why does my kid have to get 5 or 6 shots at a visit? And it does allow then people that are willing to get a couple of shots at a visit to get a lot of protection all at once. So it's really much more efficient. It's probably safer because there's less risk of errors if you're not having to draw up and give each individual vaccine. And from a kid's standpoint, it's just a lot less pain to get a lot less needles.
We're with Dr. James Conway, professor in the Department of Pediatrics in the Division of Pediatric Infectious Disease at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, talking about this executive order from the Trump administration aiming to overhaul federal childhood vaccine guidelines, paring down the recommended vaccines for kids, advising parents to split up combined shots across multiple doctor's visits. Can you talk about what would happen if drug companies try to separate these vaccines? I mean, they've been combined for so long. Would they have to go back to clinical trials? Is this possible?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a really heavy lift. You're talking about, you know, essentially to develop a new vaccine typically takes about 8 to 10 years from sort of development in the laboratory to then initial trials and then wide-scale trials to then assess, are they safe and effective? And that's really what we look for with every vaccine. You know, I think they'd probably be able to speed that up a little bit because these are older vaccines that at least had some preliminary information. But we still are very demanding about those safety and efficacy trials. And, you know, this administration, if they're going to call out safety, would have to call out the fact that they'd have to go back through and do those trials. And one of those things is doing those trials in combination with what other medications and what other vaccines kids are now getting as well. So it's not like you can just dust off old data from the 1970s and say that's good enough. And so this would really be, I would say, at least a 3 to 5 year endeavor to get those. You'd have to then develop and build up manufacturing plants that could actually do that. That does not happen overnight. And you certainly wouldn't want to sacrifice other existing production lines and production facilities just to be able to do this. And we'd be sort of an outlier. So unlike a lot of the production of these things, which are shared in a multinational way, because most developed countries are using these vaccines, we'd then be an outlier of having to develop our own things that would actually, you know, really amount to quite a bit of an expense. So, you know, it would be really not worthwhile in many ways for the drug manufacturers to do that, even if they're asked to. So I think they'd be very skeptical and very reluctant to do it.
Looking at this measles outbreak in Wisconsin, the State Department of Health Services reporting over a dozen cases of measles in the state. That was of yesterday. What can you tell us about this outbreak in the southwestern part of the state?
Well, this is going to be an enormous task to try to track this down and shut it off. Measles is one of the most contagious things on the planet. It has a really long incubation period, so it can be anywhere from 7 to 21 days. People often don't recall where they were a week ago. I'm not even sure I remember where I was yesterday. And so getting people to sort of track back and think about who they were exposed to, where they might have been, gets really, really to be a Herculean task. And then, you know, you can rapidly try to vaccinate people that have been exposed and try to get vaccines out there. But this really highlights what happens when you have an area of the state that has relatively low immunization rates and a disease that's really, really contagious. I mean, we just saw some data come out of New Mexico from their big measles outbreak, and we're talking about estimates of about $53,000 per case is what it takes to sort of get this under control. So we're talking already 15. This is a highly contagious disease. We know that there's cases in multiple counties, and, you know, the Lafayette and Iowa counties cases had no contact. So there's clearly other in-between cases that are going to be identified. So this is going to end up, you know, really derailing a lot of other public health efforts because there's going to be all hands on deck to try to get this figured out and keep it from spreading even more widely.
Can you talk more about Wisconsin's immunization rate and what you see?
Yeah, I mean, as we've seen over the last number of years, the number of kids that are getting completion of their immunization series has gradually gone down, and less than 80% of kids in the state have had their full measles, mumps, rubella series. And the problem really is that it's not dispersed across the state homogeneously. So there's some areas of the state that have very high immunization rates, here in Dane County, for instance. But you've got areas up north and in the western part of the state, you know, where only two-thirds of the kids may be immunized. We think you probably need about 95% of the population or more to be immunized to really prevent large-scale outbreaks. And so in many ways, we're sort of a sitting duck, and we've been unfortunately anticipating this was going to happen eventually. You know, we've had little clusters of exposures. We had some up in the Fox Valley, but this one I think is going to really take hold and really go quickly if people don't really respond. We really do need families to take this seriously, check their immunization records, and it's not just kids. You know, there's plenty of adults walking around that also need these vaccines.
You've been a pediatrician over 30 years. What advice do you have for parents who are confused in this moment, don't know what to think about measles and MMR and what they're seeing around them?
Yeah, I think it's important for people to recognize these diseases are unpredictable. And while there may be plenty of people that had these diseases at some point and recovered, all of these diseases can be really unpredictable and can really debilitate or even kill a child. Vaccines are extraordinarily safe and effective. They've been studied and scrutinized by public agencies and by the scientific communities for many, many years, and really will only be rolled out as a routine recommendation once everybody's comfortable that they really do make sense and that they're safe. You know, if you have questions, talking to your own providers is really the best people to look at. Social media is full of good information, but it's certainly full of misinformation, and same with the internet. So talking to people that know you and your family are really going to be the best way to get the best answers for your family.
Dr. Conway, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Dr. James Conway is a professor in the Department of Pediatrics in the Division of Pediatric Infectious Disease at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. We talked about this executive order from the Trump administration that aims to overhaul federal childhood vaccine guidelines, and also what families need to know about childhood vaccines as we head into this school year.